service.
Sisters were speaking, and Brother Tom, the Lord just dropped something in my heart, which maybe you've heard before. That's okay. These truths we need to keep before us all the time. And I'm going to talk to you from the book of the Song of Solomon. I am my beloved's. Song of Solomon. Now let's find out where that is. It's after Ecclesiastes, and it's before Isaiah. Praise God. I remember when it was called to my attention that there's a progression in this relationship between this woman and her beloved. It's a beautiful love story, but it's a picture. It's a picture of the love that Jesus has for us and the love that we as his bride have for him. And as you read through the Song of Solomon, usually when it refers to my beloved, it's talking about the bridegroom. It's talking about the Lord. And when it talks about my love and so on, he's talking about his bride. And I've read some commentaries on the Song of Solomon, and sometimes I have a little problem deciding who's talking. Is that the bride talking about her beloved? Is that the beloved talking, or the bridegroom talking about his bride? But there's much blessing in it, and we can decipher that. It's not so hard. But here in the second chapter, in the 16th verse, she says something very precious. She says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds among the lilies." My beloved is mine. Can you say that? I trust you can. My beloved, my Lord, he's mine. All that he is, I can claim. All that he's purchased for me, I can claim. He's mine. He belongs to me. And everything that I need, I can find in him. Isn't it wonderful that we can claim? We have a right. We have a right to claim the blessing of God, the salvation, all the help, all the grace that God has made available. He's done that for his, those that love him. And so when I got to fall in love with Jesus, I began to realize he's mine now, and I can claim all that he is. I can experience for myself. But then as you read on in the story, and their relationship progresses through trials and blessings, we get to the 6th chapter. And there in the 3rd verse, it sounds like it's saying the same thing, but it's a little bit different. Now she says, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies." Did you see the difference? First, my beloved was mine, and then I was his. Now it says, "I am his, and he is mine." Now she begins to understand that he wants her completely for himself, and he, all that she is, all that she has, he claims. We belong to him. He has a right to do with us whatever he sees best, because we belong to him. We've surrendered our lives to him. So I belong to Jesus. We sang before that all things were created for his pleasure. That means you, and that means me too. I've been created to bring pleasure to God, to please him with my life, to glorify him. You know, there are a lot of people that are all excited about the fact that Jesus belongs to them. And so they can claim all types of blessings and healings and victories. But you know, you got to be careful that you don't get a little bit selfish there. That's only half the story. The other story is that I belong to him, and he can claim anything he wants from me. And as we find that as we go on loving the Lord, when we realize that we're here to glorify God and to bring him pleasure, then we'll find that God will begin to claim things in our life. This area of my life, I want to have my way. Let me into that area of your life. I want to rearrange some things. I want to make some changes there. I'm not being glorified in that area of your life, and you belong to me, and I have a right to enter and to bring about the changes that I desire. And then we say, well, yes, Lord, of course, I can't hold back. I belong to you. And so, Lord, if you want to take this from me, or if you want to change that in my life, or, well, Lord, all I can say is yes to you. Yes. So then it's not all about what I can get from God, but it's what God can get from me and what he can do with my life for his glory. So that seems to be a little bit more of a mature understanding of what my relationship with God should be and what it means to love Jesus and what it means to belong to him and he belong to me. I like that story that Jesus told. I've always been interested. He told the story about the man that worked out in the field. And I think I mentioned this maybe the other day. It comes to mind again. He was working out in the field, and he worked hard all day, and then it was time to come back in. The day was coming to a close, and he walked into the house, and his master was maybe sitting at the table. And he said, hey, before you make anything for yourself, first fix me dinner. And after I've eaten, then you can take care of your own needs. And so after a hard day's work, now he has to prepare dinner, set the table, prepare dinner for his master, clean the dishes, I'm sure. And after everything's taken care of, now he can consider his own need. And Jesus said, did that servant do something unusual? Should we praise him because he took care of his master and put his master's need before his own? He said, no. He said, that's what a servant's supposed to do. That's what a servant is. We put the needs of our master before our own needs. And so, what was Jesus trying to teach them? Well, he said that in response to their prayer or their requests, Lord, increase our faith. I think maybe Jesus understood, or he suspected that they wanted more faith so that they could get God to serve them better. That's most people's idea of faith, isn't it? If I have a lot of faith, then when I pray, God will do it. And if I have faith for a car, or I have faith for this, or I have faith for that, if I have enough faith, if I confess it enough, if I claim it, and I don't let myself doubt, then God will have to do it for me. Well, that's not the reason God gives us faith. And that's not the reason why we should want faith. We should want faith so that we can believe God to have his way in our life and to please himself through us. I need to have faith that I will be able, that God will help me and enable me to give myself fully to him so that I can serve him better. Not so that he can serve me better, but so that I can serve him better. Doesn't it say in Hebrews, without faith, it's impossible to please him? Oh, that's what faith's all about, pleasing him? I thought it was about pleasing me. Yeah. Well, when it was just, he belongs to me and I belong to him, then faith was all about pleasing me and getting God to do what pleased me. But now I see it's different. Now it's, I belong to him and he belongs to me. And so now my faith should be about pleasing him. Lord, what is it that pleases you? Help me to believe you for that. Help me to believe you to produce that in my life, to bring forth the fruit that pleases my Heavenly Father. That's more important than he pleasing me. And as a matter of fact, when I know that he's pleased, I couldn't be happier. Right? That becomes my greatest joy, pleasing him. And then there's one more in chapter 7, in verse 10. And it says here, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Now she's not even talking about her love for him. It's all about him. I belong to him, and he desires me. And she's just so taken up with that. She loses sight of her love for Jesus, and she just is somehow overwhelmed with his love for her. I feel that he desires me. He loves me. He wants me. It's all about him. It's all about him. That's a good place to get to. You know, Peter, he, for a while, was very much occupied with his love for Jesus, right? He thought that he loved Jesus more than all the other apostles, and nobody loved Jesus the way he did. Well, he found out that his love for Jesus wasn't really as deep and strong as he thought it was. He found out that when he was tested, that he actually loved himself more than he loved Jesus. And he protected himself, and he forsook the Lord, and he denied the Lord in order to preserve his own life. And so he talked a lot about his love for Jesus, but when it really came down to it, when it was tested, that love wasn't very impressive after all. Now, the Apostle John, he's different. He doesn't talk about his love for Jesus. He says, I'm the apostle whom Jesus loved. He's so taken up with the fact that Jesus loves him. I wonder what he saw in me to love me the way he does. It's a wonder. Well, it's not wrong to pray, Lord, increase my love for you. But the way that God really does that is he reveals how much he loves you. And when he makes that more real to you, how greatly he loves me, I can't help but just love him back. He fills my heart with his love, and then I can use that to love him in the way that he is worthy of. And that's what happened with Peter, didn't it? Jesus said, Peter, I know you say that you love me, but before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Peter couldn't believe that. No, that can't be. I'd never deny you. But it happened just as Jesus said. And it's always interesting. Just when the rooster crowed and Peter had denied him the third time, it says Jesus was being taken past Peter and he looked at Peter. And Peter... It was though Jesus heard the rooster, and he knew that Peter had denied him the third time, and he looked right into the eyes of Peter, and when Peter saw that look, he went out and he began to weep, and he was so ashamed of himself and so disappointed and couldn't believe that he had done such a terrible thing. It's amazing that while Jesus is being beaten and tortured, he's thinking about Peter. Well, that's God's love. It's so selfless. But Jesus told Peter when he rose from the dead, he met him by the Sea of Galilee. And he said, Peter, do you really love me more than these others? Peter said, well, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, well, then feed my sheep. And then he asked him again, Peter, do you love me more than these? Well, you know I love you, Lord, then feed my lambs. And Then he said, feed his sheep again. And I know there are different Greek words that are used there, and the love, the words for love that Jesus was using. He was really asking Peter, do you love me more than you love your own life? Do you really love me more than anything, with that selfless, wholehearted love? And Peter couldn't say, yes, I do, because he failed the Lord. He didn't have that kind of love for him, he found out. But he knew that he still loved Jesus. And the Lord asked him again, do you have that selfless, but do you have that really selfless love? And he said, well, no, I can't say that I do, Lord, but you know that I love you. And he said, well, then feed my sheep. And then the Lord finally said, Peter, do you love me like the dearest friend, at least? And Peter said, oh, Lord, you know all things. I don't know anything about my love for you anymore. I don't know how much I love you. You know. But you know that I love you. And then Jesus told him, he said, you know, Peter, there's going to come a time when you're going to love me more than you love your own life. Not like the other day when you denied me, but there's going to come a time when you would rather lay down your own life for me than deny me ever again. But that's not going to be your love, Peter. That's going to be the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's going to come inside you, and the fire of heavenly love is going to burn in you like it never burned before. And that love is going to keep growing, and you're going to lose sight of your love, and you're going to just live for my glory. And there'll come an opportunity that you're going to be able to glorify God by laying down your own life, giving the best that you have, laying down all that you are. And you're going to do it, Peter, because my love in your heart is going to enable you to love me as you should. And so I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. That's the thing that ultimately is the most important thing. They're all important. We have to start somewhere. And so we start with, you know, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Then after a while, we begin to realize that God wants, he has a purpose, a call over our life. He wants our lives to glorify him. So then we begin to realize that I belong to him and he belongs to me. And then after a while, we just kind of lose sight of ourselves, and we just get all taken up with Jesus. And we say, oh, Lord, show me how much you love me. And Lord, help me to believe in that love, and help me to be a channel of that love. Let the love of God be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And let me love you. Enable me to love you as you deserve to be loved. Not with my natural human love, but with God's love. Love divine. All loves excelling. Praise God. And how wonderfully God answered that in the life of Peter and so many of the others that we read about. And God is doing that in you too. He's doing that in me too. Oh, Jesus, I praise you. It's all about Jesus. It's all for his glory. That's why we're here. And when we're done, he'll take us home. And then we'll see his glory throughout all the ages of eternity. Praise God. So I like that Song of Solomon. There's a lot in it I don't understand. I remember going through the Song of Solomon with a Lutheran friend of mine. We have a pastor. He's a Lutheran pastor. He lives in our neighborhood. And he became a very good friend of mine and his wife with Lily, the family. They have three children, two girls and a boy. We have two girls and a boy. He's a pastor in Canarsie. I'm a pastor in Canarsie. He has a church in Ridgewood also. And I also, at that time, was helping in both the church in Ridgewood and Canarsie. So we were like carbon copies of each other. The only difference is I was 5 feet four and he was like 6 feet something. But Pastor Schultz. So we'd get together and we'd pray. And we'd read some of the Bible, and somehow it came up, let's read the Song of Solomon. And he was interested, and I said, let's just see what we can understand. We don't have to figure out all the mysteries, but I'm sure there's something in there that can be a blessing to us. And we did. We read the first chapter, and there were things about, you know, that we could relate to and understand. And this, there was something in every chapter that was a blessing. But these three verses, I think they're very special. God wants our love to grow, so that it's no longer our love, but it's His love. And that's the only love that really matters, and the only love that Jesus is worthy of. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be divine. It has to be produced by Jesus Himself. Oh, we can open ourselves up to that love today and tomorrow, and just let the love of God just swallow us up. Praise God. Oh, when we get to heaven, it's going to be all about Jesus, not the crowns that I earned or somehow by my faithfulness. You see, they just cast it all at His feet. It's all about how greatly He loved us. We'll see the scars in His hands and feet. We'll say, oh God, how greatly He loved. Oh, how He loved Jesus, my Lord and my King. Amen. Now, what song does that come from? Oh, how He loved. Oh, how He loved. That's it. Yes. So that's what we want to sing, right? Into the heart of Jesus, deeper and deeper. That's the name of the song. Deeper and deeper I go. Oh, that God would bring every one of us deeper. Praise God.